sometimes I don't feel like people understand like the weight of some of the things that are written in this book. All authority in heaven, on earth, every bit of authority that exists has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.
There were 12 men who said, we're going to abandon everything to follow after Jesus as our master. And so they did. And as they did, Jesus transformed everything about them.
Everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ needs to obey that great command.
So it starts with Jesus saying, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. At the end, he says, now go and make disciples of all nations. This is what you were created for.
A lot of people have memorized this passage, but are they doing it?
You and I are intended to have life in following Christ and in fishing for men, in being a disciple of Jesus and in making disciples of Jesus.
That's at the heart of Multiply, is to make sure people are actually doing it.
You are created to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
We're trying to help people get a good basic foundation of understanding so that we can go out with confidence.
Let's encourage one another. As disciples of Jesus, every one of us, let's make disciples.
And the beautiful thing is he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
And what we want to do is help equip people to give their lives to making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that together we can be a part of the accomplishment of the greatest mission on this earth, disciples made in every single nation.
We are. Just ride to it. All right, so go ahead and grab your handout that you have, and you'll need a pen. All right, so as we've walked through Multiply, we've been using these little handouts. There's some stuff for today that I'm going to have you jot down and write. All right, so as you're doing that, just going to walk through some real quick announcements. First, this is the last time you'll see a Desperation recap. We just wanted to get through the week and the weekend. But for everybody who wasn't at Desperation, we got this thing called the Vow. All right, it's a way to live your life as to how to spend time with God every day. So in the back of it is just some instructions on how to do that. Again, you'll read the Bible and pray once a day. You'll be a part of a weekly prayer meeting, which we do during the 8:30 service. Fast one day a week and then commit to seeing at least, or as in a bare minimum, of one person coming to be discipled in Jesus. And if you want to take that, we have this little poster out at the information booth that you can grab, sign, take it to your room, hang it up on your wall, look at it every day, and be like, that's some hotness. All right, so again, 8:30 service, we do a prayer meeting in here. It was all the way turned up today, so if you want to be a part of that, would encourage you. We call it bold because when you pray, it starts to fuel boldness in your heart, makes you a bold person. You go out on mission, you pray bold, it goes like that. All right, you're in Multiply. You're welcome. All right, the internship is Tuesdays from noon to 5. There's an optional lunch from noon to 1 that will give you some free food. It's been mostly breakfast items right now because we have some nearly expired food we're trying to get rid of. But we'll give you free lunch from noon to 1. Then from 1 to 5, you'll come and work and hang out with us. And then on Wednesdays, it's from 1:30 until 9. You can jump in on there. If you come to on Wednesdays from noon to 1, we're at Lunch Bunch, which is at Sonic on West Battlefield. They have a sand volleyball court, so you can come and compete. My team lost this week. There were some different variables, wind, sand in my eyeballs, new team, just different stuff like that. But that's just a small competitive disadvantage. But we'll be back and better than ever this Wednesday. I kind of spiked it into the net a couple times, lost some vertical when I hiked Pikes Peak, but I'll be back, and then I'll just be smashing faces. So welcome to the other side. This Wednesday for Hot Summer Nights, we're having a Blacklight Night. It's it's not going to be a moderate attempt. It's going to be a ridiculous attempt at us throwing our own little rave in here. It's going to be cool. So what we'll do is we'll have different body paint stuff that you can be a part of, right? So if you ever go to a fair and someone does face painting, you're always like, that looks dumb because who wants a butterfly on their cheek as like a 14-year-old guy? But under Blacklights, little butterflies on the cheek look like pterodactyls, okay? So everything is going to look way more awesome, and so you can get on that because we'll give you an opportunity to be a part of a photo booth, and you can take some cool pictures, selfie station, post it online, holla. We'll also get some ice cream and a little ice cream bar you can get in. Since we'll be inside, it won't be terribly hot, so we'll want some cool treats, right? That little scoop of ice cream costs $225 because it glows in the dark. We're not serving you that. That'd be dumb. But we are going to give you little ice cream things that glow in the dark. And you'll be like, oh, this is so much fun. Scooping ice cream like you've never known before. We're also going to have some different activities. One of the highlights will be this thing called a cipher. Okay, so in hip-hop, when people battle, it's like you insult the other person, right? You're so dumb. And the other person's like, well, you're stupid. And then people are like, oh, okay, that's a battle. What a cipher is you just give everybody the same section of beat and see who does it better, right? So it's not necessarily about me trying to clown on somebody as it is me just trying to work the beat like a master, okay? So myself, Pastor Romeo will be doing it. We got some other people who are going to sneak in that you may not know. So even if you don't like hip-hop, we're just going to turn this thing into a... All right, and it's going to be awesome. And then my friend Scotty Gibbons will be preaching. He used to be the youth pastor at James River. He was there from the very beginning. He's now a pastor of youth pastors kind of nationally. And so Scotty G will be here. He's actually in Texas right now, so he's going to travel his way up this week, and he'll be with us on Wednesday. Yay, yay. Okay, so you've got your handout. Today changes multiply for us. In the weeks past, we've been using a book. Now, you can buy the book at Barnes & Noble. You can download it for free online. That if you wanted to have all the material we have, they have the full book you can download. They have each week broken down that you don't need to have the whole section. You can just go week by week. And so there's a ton of multiply we're not covering just simply because we don't have the time. So what we're doing today is we're shifting from what were just big handouts that you would file along with and you'd be able to answer questions to just different videos they have to share, and that being the primary place that we're going to do our teaching from. So today we are going to have a little video, but I just want to share the heart behind Multiply for those of you who haven't been in it with us, and then we'll show you the video, do some groups. It'll be awesome. So here's what it is. We reduce discipleship to this CAN program. So it's like, if you want to get discipled, come to this and we'll make you one. And so many people in the church have grown up sidelined to be a spectator. Like, the person who does discipling is Justin. That guy's the disciple maker. For me, that's not my role, right? So it's to pastors and professionals, ministers and missionaries, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus has invited all of us to be a part of his plan. He has designed all of his people to know his joy as we share his love, spread his word, multiply his life among all the peoples of the earth. This is the grand purpose for which we're created, to enjoy the grace of Christ as we spread the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. To the purpose is worth giving our lives, seeing it accomplished. So it's not Justin makes disciples because that's what he gets paid for. And it's not this is Aaron makes disciples because he goes to school for that. If you follow Jesus, you are first a disciple and you are a disciple maker. So we do multiply for a couple reasons. That every one of us was made to be a disciple and to make disciples who make disciples. So it's not just about you, but it's who you're leading, growing, teaching, and leading up into Jesus. So we want you to be discipled. We're going to put you in smaller groups for you to learn how to grow to be in Jesus. So we're going to teach you how to learn to follow Jesus, right? That you're going to be discipled by somebody and you're going to grow and have every opportunity to be a disciple, right? For students to learn to follow Jesus. So we want to teach you what it means to make disciples and how you go from being a disciple first to then you knowing how to make disciples second. Because it's not enough for it to end on just you knowing how. You have to know how to make others know how also, because that is a part of the Great Command. And then we want to build a bridge for new believers. And what that means is we've had up to 30-something people come to commit their life to Christ for the first time or recommit their lives to Christ. And we want to use this service as an opportunity to build a bridge there. So that means if you bring a friend who accepts Jesus on Wednesday, we want you to bring them back Sunday so we can start to grow them up in Jesus, right? That this is a full life. If you're leaving everything and following, then we're committing our lives to being like him. And so today, the title of the talk today is Disciple Making, and it's the fruit of being a Christian. You can identify any kind of tree by what it produces, right? You don't look at a pear tree and be like, I think it produces apples, right? Because it makes pears. So if you are a believer in Jesus, there are certain things that we can come to expect by you being a disciple of Jesus, and that's what the talk is going to be today. So what we have on your handout are there are a couple questions and a couple quotes that Francis Chan and David Platt are going to share. And so you can just, as you're following along, watching this video, if you have different thoughts and ideas, you can write those down. When we get into connect groups after this, that your leaders are going to be able to say, okay, let's answer question number one. All right, let's go to question number two. And you'll just be able to take those quotes and those questions and to have really intentional group time later. Yay, yay. Okay, stretch your head. All right, stretch your heart. Get yourself ready. Because Francis Chan and David Platt are coming aggressive today. All right, so one, two, three. Enjoy the video.
Now, a community of guys, folks who are gathering together in the morning, praying together, sharing the gospel, and not everybody. I mean, there's other folks. I mean, I know you guys gather together once a week. Like, when you talk about relooking at what it means to be the church, or I don't know what the best word
is.
Like, what are the things that are really forefront on your heart and mind when you think about what the church should look like?
Yeah. Well, you know why I love that gathering in the mornings is I have a confidence of these people that they really are believers, that they really are followers. And I think a lot of times when we gather for what we call church, I don't know that I have that same confidence, because when I read scripture, I see, gosh, when the Holy Spirit enters into a person, there should be some pretty serious life change. Like, there should be a difference between a person who's dead in their trespasses and sins and a person who now has the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwelling in them. Like, there should be a marked difference. And I believe I see that. I mean, we've seen it where you go, wow, that's not normal. That person has been turned around. That person is filled with the Spirit. But then there's also such a big number of people that come to these Sunday gatherings where you wouldn't be able to tell the difference by their lifestyle, actions, even words. And so now you're trying to get everyone in this gathering to do something together. And I'm concerned that a lot of them have not really made a commitment to follow Jesus. Like when I, like the other day, I just was reading through the book of Mark, and I thought, wow, I mean, Jesus just goes to these people, follow me. And that just means whatever I'm asking you to do, you just do it. And you know, those who try to make excuses, well, let me just, and they seem legitimate. Like, let me say goodbye to my
really good
family
excuses.
Or, you know, of course. You get your family
to say goodbye to your mom and dad. Like,
and Jesus is like, well, if you're going to do that, then don't even bother. I'm like, wow. You know, that what it means to follow Jesus, to surrender. I mean, that's what we're saying today of walking in the Spirit is, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to say? What would you like me to do? I've surrendered to you. I've died to myself, and I want to follow you. I mean, is that mindset, are those, you know, the people that show up on a Sunday morning, is that what they're thinking? Or is it something else that's been created of, you know, repeat after me, pray this prayer, you know, you're not going to hell anymore. I just don't see that in Scripture. I see a follow me. And so for me, gathering with people where I go, man, I see it in their life, it's just a lot different.
So, I mean, that hits something really important, like to call people to make disciples who are not disciples. That's that's pretty much a dead end. I mean, that I think about one guy in the church that I pastor who he came to the church a few years ago. He'd grown up in the church. He'd done the deal, prayed the prayer, been baptized, and had been involved in church leadership. Like, the church that he came from called us, the pastor of that church called us and said, hey, just want you to know, you're getting a great guy. Like, this guy is going to serve your church well. He's going to be a great church member. So he comes, and about a year later, he gets saved. Like, he was not a follower of Jesus. He'd been on every committee, team. He'd done all this stuff in the church, but he'd never become a follower of Jesus. And then as soon as he did, like, this supernatural compulsion was in him. I mean, he started looking around at his life and his workplace. He's a really successful businessman and says, how can I use this business to leverage for the gospel, to make disciples? Him and his wife started taking couples into their homes to start intentionally making disciples. I mean, his wife came out the other day and said, Pastor, making disciples is better than having grandkids. Like, they are just going at it. And the fundamental change was he became a follower of Jesus. Now, I don't want to say that everybody who struggles with making disciples is clearly not a disciple. Yeah. But when you look at this book, from the very beginning of Christianity, like, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men.
Yeah.
Like, every follower fisher. Yeah. Every disciple, disciple maker. So if we're not making disciples, somewhere along the way, we may have missed what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah. Yeah, my concern is, okay, let me put it this way. Like there was one time there was, you know, this guy was struggling, you know, sexually, and he was actually even on our staff, and, you know, just decide to go the other direction and walk away from things, and, you know, but still was saying he's still a Christian, he's still a follower, and it was just that whole thing of I don't want to judge anyone, and I don't know, but I, at the end of the day, I said, you know, here's my concern, is if Jesus said to him, hey, drop these relationships and follow me, he would say no. I'm not gonna leave that and just do whatever you ask me to do. Like, he would say no to that, but yet we would still call him a Christian. And that's such a weird disconnect to me. And yet many people would say, well, yeah, I'm not ready to drop everything, but I consider myself a Christian. I'm not ready to, you know, I'll grow in that. I'll get there one day, but I'm not there. Like, I just get concerned. I sometimes look at my own life and go, man, this is inconsistent. This is inconsistent. And I'm not saying I even have this figured out. I just really wrestle with that. And there are times in my life when I feel total peace. Like, I was surrendered today. I really did. And so I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying I wrestle with this, with what I read in Scripture, and I wrestle with other people, not just out of concern. Like, I love these people. I want to believe that we're going to spend eternity together.
Okay, so I'm going to try to tee this up for you real easily in the next 5 minutes before we go to groups. Okay, so on the first page, we'll just walk you through each of these questions, and it'll help frame expectations. All right, so the first question is, have you made a commitment to follow Jesus? All right, so that's question number one. You don't have to say yes to that question. If the answer is no, say no. Right, we're not asking you to be like, yes. Okay, so have you made a commitment? Yes. And then an elevator testimony goes like this. If you and I got into an elevator together and we both push buttons, right, and you had the ride to tell me what happened in your life with Jesus, what would you share? It's not the we're going on a long road trip to Colorado and you have 14 hours. It's you got a minute. Give me the minute version, all right? So this is the quick highlights. All right, and you go for it, right? That's me talking fast. All right, so then the second one comes with a quote, but that you can say it above. And I just honestly, I watched this video and typed what they were saying word for word. All right, so this will help you remember some of the things the video said. But number two, name an era of your life that represents a marked difference from when you were dead in trespasses and having the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. Typo, but and now having the Spirit of Christ within you. There should be that before you knew Jesus, this looked like it was not Jesus. Sinful, dead in trespasses, not Jesus. And then now it looks significantly different because you have Jesus. There has to be at least one area that that's true. At least one. And so I know some of you have grown up in this and you're like, well, I've never been a bad kid in my whole life. Right? It's not true. Okay? It is impossible for that to be true. Okay? So there's that. The third one. Is it possible to be highly involved in church and still not be following Jesus like the video showed? Our motive and desire to serve is fundamentally different. So we ask the question, do you serve? If so, why do you? If not, why don't you? And in light of what you've heard in the video and in other teachings, how does your answer stand to what the Bible says? In the end, our whole goal in doing this is what the Bible says. Are we doing that? Right, I could care less about what everybody else says. This is what the Bible says. Are we doing that? All right, so that's number three. Number four is when we say that someone struggles with making disciples, we're not saying that disciple making's easy. Okay, so like for me, discipling someone doesn't mean like I just walk in the streets and I'm like, hey, follow Jesus. And they're like, okay. And then we're all following. That's not what we are saying. It's not a matter of how easy is it for you to get other people to follow. What we are saying about struggling is, are you compelled to make disciples? That's where the struggle lies. So if you are actively making disciples, then you're not struggling. If you're not making disciples, you are struggling. All right, so we talk about that. There's a difference between giving all of our heart and effort and struggling with people and not giving our heart or effort, and the struggle is upon us. And so the question is, what do you struggle with? In making disciples, where does your struggle lie? All right, and then the final question, is there something that Jesus would ask you to leave and follow him that you would not say yes to? So if Jesus right now said, I want you to leave that and follow me, is there something that you would not say yes to? Like if he said, I want you to stop playing that sport and I want you to follow me, and you'd be like, no. Okay, so that just name an area that if Jesus said, I need you to leave that to follow me, would you say no? Okay, so why? You can answer that question, why? And can you say that you're really following Jesus if you aren't willing to leave everything and follow as the Bible says? Every person who followed Jesus left everything and followed Jesus, not, hey, I need to handle A, B, C, D, right? So we're going to frame it like that. And my real quick, like minute and a half context, when I moved to this area, one of the things that people say to me all the time is everybody I know is a Christian, everyone. Like everybody in this town is a Christian. That was almost the idea 10 years ago. There was this, everybody in Springfield knows and loves the Lord. And what I'm telling you is that is impossible. After 12 years of history in this town, it's just not true. And then after serving 5 years at a local high school, I can tell you that not everybody knows Jesus. And having spoke at retreats and camps and events for local Christian schools, I can tell you that's not true. Right? That I know a lot of people who go to New Covenant Academy because they've been kicked out of every other school and that's the only one they can go to anymore. All right, so let's not play games of like everyone I know, because you live in a neighborhood and not everyone there is there. So that's part number one. And then number two is I hear people all the time say, well, I'm a Christian, but yet their life does not seem to be marked and different from anybody else. That they may attend here on Sunday or may attend here on Wednesday, but their life in no way looks different from any of their peers. And what I'm telling you is if as a teenager, you love, serve, have given your life to Jesus, it has to look vastly different from every other teenager you know in a lot of categories. In a lot of categories. And if it doesn't, that should cause your heart to go, I don't know. And we want you to start asking better questions about whether or not you're following, so that when it gets to eternity, that you're not going to stand there and be like, I never knew the cost. I never knew what was happening. I never knew. You're going to know in this little section that the cost of following Jesus is everything. And if you're not willing to get there, then that answer indicates where you stand with Jesus. All right? And that's where today, the weight of today kind of goes, whoa, like happy 11:20, everybody. You're welcome, right? Sweet. Let's go to connect groups and have some fun. So the girls will be over here. We're going to try to break up into some smaller pods, all right? So Mama McKenzie's going to take one. Mama Singletary is going to take one. And then Aaron and I will have a crew of dudes over here that he'll take a squad and I'll take a squad, all right? So we'll just cut in half, make it pretty. And then we're hanging till noon, all right? So we're not trying to rush through this mug. We got till noon to work this party.